I want to take a minute to talk to parents, because this is something I didn't fully appreciate until recently. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is showing up earlier and earlier in kids. And I've learned it's about more than just seeing clearly in class. If myopia progresses over time without being addressed, it can lead to bigger vision challenges down the road. That's why I'm glad conversations around children's eye health are changing. When you take your child to an eye doctor, you're not just getting a prescription. You're getting insight into how their eyes are developing and what options might help support them in the long term. One of those options is Essilor Stellest lenses. They're designed specifically for kids and used as part of a myopia management approach, all while still correcting everyday vision. And from what I understand, they're worn just like regular glasses, nothing complicated for kids or parents. Every child is different, so the best place to start is with a comprehensive eye exam. For me, it's about being proactive now to help protect their vision for the future. Visit Essilor.com to learn more about Stellest lenses and to find an Essilor expert eye care professional near you. That's Essilor.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Wait, what?
I mean,
you're only
nuts.
Making 15% of the split?
Yes.
The guy that's getting the crap kicked out of him is getting only 15%.
Who are the Misfits? Carrie Byron. Tori Belleci. Together more than 20 years having fun together.
Hey, Mythfits, welcome to another episode of the Mythfits podcast.
Oh my God, Tori, I've been waiting to get on this call with you.
Why?
Because you're doing way more interesting stuff right now. Like this week, I was like walking my dog, and then I would look at my feed. I'm like, Tori is in New Orleans wearing a weird costume. And then I would be like, you know, working out. I'm like, oh, look. There's Tori. He's in Mexico and he's like, you're just running around with the gumball rally,
which was
the most insane thing to follow. Could you catch everybody else up on what you were doing?
It happened so fast. We're like, you know, it's just a week. So we started in Miami and then we drive all the way to Mexico City and you do it in like 5 days. So it's like every day you're driving to two different cities. So it's like you hit a checkpoint and they'll have lunch there and then you jump back in your cars and then you finish that day in a major city.
This isn't just a road trip and you're not just stopping for lunch. I mean, I believe the first post I saw you put out, there was a guy like wrestling an alligator were eating with Joel or you know, Deadmouse, like this amazing sushi buffet. You're not stopping at truck stops.
Everybody's been talking about. They're like, dude, that sushi buffet looks amazing.
Yeah, you're not doing road trips like I do. You're not stopping at Chipotle or something. Like,
well, there's a couple. One stop in Mexico, we stopped at a gas station. Like that was the official stop, and they had these amazing street tacos. So it was like a mix of both.
I mean, it looked like an amazing trip, and I think that we actually have to dedicate an entire episode of storytelling because, you know, you had a partner in crime. I think we need to bring him back later so we can really dig into this.
Deadmouse is totally in. He wants to come on the podcast as soon as he's like touring. He's got tour dates for the next few weeks, but when he finds an opening, we're going to get him on. But it was interesting. We passed the farm. When we were in Florida, we passed that farm that we did the crocodiles running zigzag or straight.
Oh my gosh, you were there? Yeah. That's so crazy. That was when a fan ran up and goes, I know you. I know you. Can I take a picture? You're Mike Rowe.
I see get that all. I'm like, no, I'm not Mike Rowe. No, you're 100%. I'm like, no.
Okay,
I'm
I'll
not.
Take a picture with you then.
And then they come back and go, oh, you're on Discovery. You're Tori from MythBusters. I'm sorry. but it was, what was it? St. Augustine was where we did the experiment. And it was a trip. It was like we were driving right through St. Augustine and they're like, alligator farm. I'm like, oh, and I just, all these memories started coming back of that experiment where I remember in the production office, they're like, okay, so this is how we're going to do it. We're going to, you know, lay it out. We're going to have these experiments. But then at the very end, Tori, you're going to get in with a crocodile and you're going to get it to chase you. And you see if you go zigzag or if you run in a straight line, we'll see if the crocodile can catch you. And at the time, it was like, yeah, okay, yeah, that'll be cool. Yeah,
great idea. Totally. Great idea.
And then we're there and I'm like putting on the safety gear. And then I'm like staring down this giant hissing crocodile going, what was I thinking? This is so dumb. But, you know, you can't back out.
It was such a weird, it was so hot. It was so humid. And the robot that we were making needed legs that the crocodile would snap at. So we're taking these stinky squab and just stuffing pantyhose with them to make the legs. Right. It was so gross so that they would swing and then the robot would go in a straight line or, you know, like the myth being a... And then at the end, do you remember that I did the experiment with the giant alligator that seemed to be the size of the alligator from Peter Pan that swallowed, you know, Captain
yeah,
Cook's
right.
leg?
Well, I forget. What was that experiment?
It was zigzag. It was zigzag again, but they put me in with the big, slow alligator and no protective gear and a chicken so I could run back and forth or straight. And the protective gear was a guy off camera with a broomstick. They're like, oh, no, if he comes at you, we'll just. You know,
just
snap
him
on the nose.
Broomstick.
But I have a photo with this alligator that's quite impressive because he's freaking huge. Like it was huge. But
yeah.
He was slow. So they gave me the big slow one. They gave you the snappy little crocodile that I thought was going to snap your leg off.
Oh my God, that thing was just like, and I was like poking it with the stick. Come on, chase me. Oh, that was nuts.
What a weird day.
We did this rally like 12 years ago. It was 2014. We did the first one, and that one was from Miami to Ibiza. And then the second year, 2015, we did it again. But we haven't done, I mean, it's been over 10 years since we've done it. So it was awesome just to like reconnect. Bun B, you know, the rapper Bun B, he's on the rally, and we became really good friends over the years because of this whole, it's such a crazy experience that you make these bonds for life.
So you met a UFC fighter?
Yeah.
I feel like I have a healthy respect for the level of athleticism that takes because I can't imagine taking a kick to the head or a punch. And these guys seem to just beat the crap out of each other and keep getting back up. Like,
yeah. Especially who we have on today, John Fitch. He is the guy... is like a robot. I mean, he just would not quit. Like he did eight, I think he had eight wins in a row, which is kind of like rare for fighters. But I'm curious to find out what happened in his career. Cause he left the UFC to go to another tournament. And so I don't know. I'm excited to see what he has to say.
I'm curious about just origin story. Like what kind of person gets into MMA? Is it somebody who starts out a fighter? Is it like what drives someone into this industry? And is there, like, if you're talking to other fighters, is there just kind of a personality type or is there just a, like, who does this? Who are the people that are able to do this? Because it, I mean, beyond athleticism and endurance, like, man, there's definitely like a mental acuity to it that you have to be able to strategize and get past. And I don't know, it's so interesting because it's so different than something that I'm used to.
Yeah. And I feel like it's in most people, avoiding a fight is what everybody is trying to do in life. Right.
Yeah.
And for these guys to just be like, all right, we're stepping into the cage together. It does. It takes like a different mindset for sure.
Have you ever been in a fist fight? Like even as a kid, did you ever like fight? I mean, not your brother, like other people.
Yeah, kids at school. Yeah.
Yeah. You would. I got into one fight once ever, and like it freaked me out super hard. And I remember hearing the sound of that thud of her head on the ground, and it panicked me. I think I was in the second or first grade, and that was it for me.
That was your fighting career.
I cried. I felt so bad. I felt so bad.
No, I used to hang out with the rowdy kids because it was like, I didn't want, like, it was like, if I'm going to get into a fight, I want the craziest kids to be on my side. And so I would hang out with guys who would get into a lot of fights, which would then get me into a lot of fights. But
that's some prison mentality right there. That's some playing around prison mentality. I'm like, all right.
I would go to parties and I'd be like, oh, it's always those guys who are beating up people. I better go make friends with them.
Yeah, you're the smart one right there. Nice.
I want security. I need my security around. All right, you guys, stick around. We have John Fitch, MMA fighter, and also a contributor on Mythbusters.
Friend of the show and Fighting the Fit. Especially in the age of AI scams, they're getting more and more difficult to catch. So that's why it's really important to have something really secure when it comes to money. So important.
Well, Carrie, you're in luck because we have just partnered with the Cash App card.
I love that you can lock your Cash App card right from your phone the second something feels off. So it gives you it's just a huge peace of mind. Like you, all of a sudden you go, oh crap, I might've got scammed, and you can turn it off right away.
Cash App automatically declines suspicious purchases and sends a heads up to confirm if it's you or not.
Instantly lock or unlock your card right from your phone in just one tap. And 24/7 fraud monitoring protects your account balance behind the scenes.
Spend with peace of mind today and order a Cash App card in the app or at cash.app/card. New Cash App customers can earn $10 if they use code SECURE10 in their profile at sign up and send $5 to a friend within 14 days.
Terms apply. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's bank partners, prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, Cash App Visa, debit flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC, the Bancorp Bank, N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. See terms and conditions for the Sutton prepaid card, Sutton debit flex card, and Bancorp debit flex card. Discounts and promotions provided by Cash App, a Block Inc. brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures.
I want to take a minute to talk to parents, because this is something I didn't fully appreciate until recently. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is showing up earlier and earlier in kids. And I've learned it's about more than just seeing clearly in class. If myopia progresses over time without being addressed, it can lead to bigger vision challenges down the road. That's why I'm glad conversations around children's eye health are changing. When you take your child to an eye doctor, you're not just getting a prescription. You're getting insight into how their eyes are developing and what options might help support them in the long term. One of those options is Essilor Stellest lenses. They're designed specifically for kids and used as part of a myopia management approach, all while still correcting everyday vision. And from what I understand, they're worn just like regular glasses, nothing complicated for kids or parents. Every child is different, so the best place to start is with a comprehensive eye exam. For me, it's about being proactive now to help protect their vision for the future. Visit Essilor.com to learn more about Stellest lenses and to find an Essilor expert eye care professional near you. That's Essilor.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, MythFits, welcome back. And please give a warm welcome to MMA fighter John Fitch. John, how the heck are you, dude?
Can't complain.
So you came on to bust a myth with us about the one-inch punch, which was, it was a martial arts myth, but a Kill Bill, I remember, was really popularized it for my generation. It was really fun watching you fight Tori. I thought that was, myth be damned, watching Tori get in the ring with you was my absolute favorite part of the episode.
Oh,
that was fun. I was nervous because Tori didn't bring a cup, he didn't bring a mouthpiece. And he was just like, yeah, let's spar. And I was like, okay. I don't want to end your TV career here.
Dude, and it's so funny because we got there and you were training for your title fight against George St. Pierre at the time. So you were like, so ready. So like you were your peak performance.
Peak physical condition.
Peak form for sure.
And we were super stoked to be down there. And so we did some tests where we had you laying on your back and you were like punching the pads and everything. And at the end of the day, the producer was like, let's just do like a quick joke. Like, oh, I've always wanted to be. And to be honest, in my head, I always was like, oh, what's it like to get in the ring? Like, I think I could maybe hang.
I got this. I got this.
And so we start in and you like, I just remember you're like taking me.
Dunning-Kruger, I think.
What's that?
That's the Dunning-Kruger effect. People don't know how much they don't know about something.
Yes.
Most people, that's their big quickness, is people don't know how much they don't know about fighting until they're actually in one.
Yes. And so you grabbed me and you threw me down and I got up and I was like, oh, I got up, right? Not thinking that you're like taking it so easy on me, right? And I'm like, ooh, I got away. And then I remember you came up, and as you came up, we had 20-ounce gloves on. I like hit you, and you kind of gave me this look like, oh, we're punching? I thought I was just gonna toss you around. And then you just like, you probably were doing like 50% power, but you just went overhand right, it hit me right in the face, and I was like, all my wishes of being a UFC fighter went right out the window.
Little Tweety birds, birds going around.
You lit me up, and I was like, "I'm done. I don't think." And I instantly gave my back, and you like choked me out.
I mean, none of that was necessary for testing the myth. It was just really fun. I mean, it was some good color there. I mean, the myth being that you could punch your way out of a coffin, even if you only had like 1 inch, you could create enough power to punch your way out, right?
That was one of those things that, you know, I think every fighter was watching. I was like, could I really,
Let's go back, because we were talking earlier, Carrie and I were talking about how one, you know, goes into becoming a fighter. You started as a wrestler at Purdue, right? Or was like, as a kid, were you always getting into fights, or were you just an athletic kid?
Man, I liked pro wrestling when I was really little. You know,
Who was your favorite pro wrestler? Were you like Hulkamania?
I mean, you had Andre the Giant back then. You know, Roddy Piper, Andre the Giant. You know, Hulk Hogan was okay. But then fourth grade was my first time actually going to wrestle for real. And first day of practice, I was like, "Oh, that stuff's fake." I was like, "Oh, wow." And like, I've never liked pro wrestling since. Like, I feel like I was lied to and deceived. So. I just once I started actually wrestling and realizing like, oh, it's like you can't actually do this move unless somebody lets you.
Yeah.
That changed a lot. And then I passionately became obsessed with wrestling. And, you know, wrestling was my backup sport too. Like football was my number one thing. But, you know, it's just the idea of one-on-one battle. Like I could grab somebody and throw them down. That was awesome.
But how do you transition to mixed martial arts? How do you get to there?
Well, yeah, I went to Purdue and, you know, I wasn't a super standout wrestler. I did really good in high school. I placed in state twice in Indiana, and Indiana only has, there's four states that only have one class. So all the wrestlers are in the same pool at the state tournaments. The other states have one, two or three, four classes. So you'll have four state champions in like Illinois or somewhere. But you know, it's like California, Indiana, New Jersey. I can't remember where the other place is, but there's only, everybody's in the same pool. So like it was okay. I did okay, you know? And then I went to Purdue. I was a 4-year letterman and a team captain, but I never qualified for the NCAA. So I wasn't all American. I started getting good my like junior and senior year. So I was like, just getting the hang of wrestling at a high level. My senior year, I got honorable mention. And back then, they only ranked the top 20 guys. So I beat a guy who was like 17th in the country. And I got honorable mention, which is like, they gave like three or four honorable mentions after the top 20. So I was like my best I ever did in wrestling. But I was getting better. So I was my best was my last matches in my college career. So I was like, man, like I have to be done now. This sucks.
Right.
Yeah. And luckily I had a coach, Tom Erickson, who was a fighter who was a number two in the Olympic ladder. He was under Bruce Bumgarner for like 13 years. And he was a heavyweight, and he was going and fighting in Brazil and Japan. And he had fight friends that would come to town to train with him who needed like wrestling help or whatever. And that was Gary Goodrich and Mark Coleman.
Oh, Mark Coleman. Those
guys, Mark Coleman. Yeah.
That guy's
Mark
a legend.
Mark Coleman's a big factor. Yeah. Big factor in why, because he's a great storyteller too. The idea was just the competition and, you know, learning the stuff around jiu-jitsu and boxing and Muay Thai, like learning new technique was really exciting for me. And it never really was about the money. It was just like the adventure, you know. You watch like Bloodsport, Kickboxer, and all those 80s action movies growing up, and you're like, that looks like awesome, you know, best of the best. You know, travel to another country, meet the people, and then fight them.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of other sports like soccer where people flop a bunch and have some drama to it. Now, when you're doing this professionally and you're out there in a ring and everybody's watching, do you find that any of it for you or other fighters is at all performative, or is it just fierce fighting and your head's in the game?
There is an element of performance to it, especially nowadays. It's more entertainment than sport sometimes, because the way the UFC has controlled contracts and titles and stuff like that, they've turned it more into pro wrestling than wrestling, because wrestling is like the winner moves forward, and fighting today, it's not enough to win. You have to have the crowd support. You have to have, you know, are you not entertained? You have to be the gladiator where the crowd really likes you. It's not enough to just to win fights.
Gotcha.
So, you know, there'll be guys who do big antics that are very pro wrestling ish. To get more attention and more notice. They still have to win the fights, but you know, when the promoter controls contracts, the title, and who ascends to title shots, you kind of have to be more of an actor than just a good, solid fighter.
Talk a little bit about the money, because I know notoriously the fighters don't get paid that much. Like in boxing,
about 14 to 15% of the split.
Wait, what?
We're about 14 to 15% of the split from the proceeds made. The promoter takes the rest. Where in every other pro sport, it's 50-50, around 50-50, and then in boxing, the boxers make about 85% of the money.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you're only
nuts.
Making 15% of the split.
Yes.
The guy that's getting the crap kicked out of him is getting only 15%.
Yes, all of the fighters on that card are making about 15% of what the promoter is. That's what the UFC is making.
And is that including the pay-per-view?
Only you, like before, you only got pay-per-view points if you were a defending champ. And you only got one to two points. But now they made a deal with Paramount for 7 years and there's no pay-per-views anymore. So those champions don't have any opportunity for pay-per-view splits.
Oh, whoa.
I don't know if getting hit in the head that many times is going to be worth 15%. I feel like I would want more. I would want more. You're the one taking the risk.
Well, they tend to use a lot of guys from countries that don't make a lot of money. So that money seems to be a lot more than what they think it is.
Well, just based on not the results of the fight, how do you or your community, because you seem like you're an old school fighter. Like, how do you and your community feel about the UFC fights in the White House?
There's a little bit of a split because the younger guys don't exactly necessarily see how corrupt things are. Mm-hmm. The older guys, they kind of do see. Like, one of the things they're doing right now is they're trying to push this Ali Revival Act, which isn't a revival at all. They're trying to kill it. They're trying to gut the Ali Act so that the UFC can do the same thing to boxing that they've done to MMA. They want to monopolize it. They want to be able to own exclusive contracts that are long-term, and they want to control the title, their own title. So, like, they control Ascension to title then. It no longer is a sport when that happens, because now it's just, we say it's a reality show with the reward for winning is brain damage.
Mm. Wow. Dang. Right? That's
so
dark.
You have to you know, fluff the right person to get the right opportunity to get the fight in order to fight for those titles. It's not just about winning anymore.
Yeah. That's crazy because you had such an amazing winning streak. Mm-hmm. And it, like, how long did it take till you got a title fight with JSP?
I won when I got into the UFC. I had won 8 in a row, and then I lost a decision to George St. Pierre. And then they tried to force us to sign these video game rights, which gave our identity over to the UFC for a lifetime for no money.
What?
Yes. I said no. I asked them for a 20-year sunset clause because I don't know what was going to happen in the future with video games. And who knows, you could have... Now you have AI. Maybe AI could make my own video game. I could have my own video game right now.
Right.
So when I said no, they cut me because I had lost that last fight, and I got cut from the UFC for that. And they made it a public spectacle. Yeah, they made it a public spectacle in order to scare all the other fighters into signing their contracts. Wow. And they did. It worked.
That's so messed up.
Wow.
I mean, Carrie and I deal with this all the time. You know, people are like, oh, you guys get residuals on Mythbusters. And we're like... No, yeah. we signed away the likeness.
And it's when they're in a position where it's like, well, take it or leave it. If you don't sign it, we'll just find somebody else who will.
Summer's almost here, and the last thing I want to do is stress about money while I'm trying to plan a vacation. But that's where Monarch comes in.
Monarch is a personal finance app that tracks everything, accounts, investments, savings goals, and spending. Get your first year of Monarch Core for half off, just $50 with promo code MIFITS.
Monarch's weekly AI recap can catch a spending spike before it becomes a problem. It's like having a financial advisor in your pocket.
Most apps only tell you what you've already spent. Monarch helps you set goals, map out big purchases, and see if you're on track before it's too late.
Ask Monarch's AI assistant anything about your finances, like how much you spent on travel last summer or whether you can afford a vacation without touching savings.
AI insights spot things you wouldn't think to look for, like whether your spending is increasing or it's just inflation.
Use code MIFITS at monarch.com to get your first year of Monarch Core half off at just $50. That's 50% off your first year at monarch.com. with code MIFITS.
I want to take a minute to talk to parents, because this is something I didn't fully appreciate until recently. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is showing up earlier and earlier in kids. And I've learned it's about more than just seeing clearly in class. If myopia progresses over time without being addressed, it can lead to bigger vision challenges down the road. That's why I'm glad conversations around children's eye health are changing. When you take your child to an eye doctor, you're not just getting a prescription. You're getting insight into how their eyes are developing and what options might help support them in the long term. One of those options is Essilor Stellest lenses. They're designed specifically for kids and used as part of a myopia management approach, all while still correcting everyday vision. And from what I understand, they're worn just like regular glasses, nothing complicated for kids or parents. Every child is different, so the best place to start is with a comprehensive eye exam. For me, it's about being proactive now to help protect their vision for the future. Visit Essilor.com to learn more about Stellest lenses and to find an Essilor expert eye care professional near you. That's Essilor.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I feel like I've learned so much from you in this conversation. Like, I there's so much complexity and story to this. To this art that I had no idea. And you are clearly a good egg. I'm so glad you came on to have this conversation. And the fact that you came and helped us bust a myth on Mythbusters leads me to ask you if maybe you will talk about some MMA myths with us. Could we run some past you and you could let us know if it's real or not?
That would be cool.
Okay. Tell us if this is myth or legit. You should never have sex before a fight.
myth. I had a friend who was a film student, and he was an AKA, and he, for his film project he was doing on interviewing athletes, and he asked all these athletes that question about whether refrain from sex. And what he found from his little project was that all of the champions he talked to, all the top tier guys he talked to, said that's bullshit. All of the guys who never competed at a high level were like, oh yeah, totally.
And we talked to a lot of athletes about things. We're talking about baseball players who like wore silk undies. Like, there's all kinds of superstitions. Are there any superstitions that you have before an MMA fight, or any crazy ones that you've heard of?
No, but I have routines, you know, and I think it's not really superstition, but maybe it is. It's a routine where like you're comfortable. So like you put your certain things on at the same time throughout the night. You go to the bathroom at the same time. Maybe you eat the same things. I had the same shirt and shorts and stuff that I wore every time. Even if I had other sponsors, I put it on over the top, right? So like I had the shirt I got from Gary Goodrich that was had said Big Daddy and had the sleeves cut off, and he gave it to me like that. So I always wore that, and then I had like just this black sweatshirt, plain sweatshirt, so it looked kind of like Mike Tyson's old towel that he wore. And I wore that for everyone. And that was always underneath all of my other outfits.
So it's not, if you call it routine, not superstition. It feels like it's bordering on superstition there. Is it, is this a myth? Because I've always been interested in this. Is it illegal to be in street fights if you are a trained UFC fighter? Are your hands registered as
weapons?
A deadly weapon? Is that true that it's actually illegal for you? No.
No, it's not. It's not illegal. But it can be taken into consideration if you've trained and you've gone out there and you've beat up people who aren't trained, you know. Like if you're out picking on people and starting fights, whatever. There's a degree of, you know, law legality when you're allowed to like defend yourself, right? It has to be a reasonable reaction, right? Somebody slaps you in the face and you choke them to death, that's not reasonable, right?
That's overkill.
But if it's overkill, yeah, it has to be a degree measurement to what you did to them. So if they slapped you in the face and you drop them with the right hand, that's reasonable. It's reasonable. But if you're starting fights, if you're throwing the first punch and you're a trained athlete, a trained fighter, trained professional, like there are judges that could hold that against you, yes.
I mean, you got to be a nominee for the Darwin Awards to want to go slap a UFC fighter. That's insane.
What advice do you give to somebody if they get into a street fight? Like, what would be your...
Don't.
Just don't.
Don't.
Just don't. Like, avoid. Like, deflection. Like, you learn how to deflect. Learn how to, like, bring things down, right? Don't antagonize. Don't increase whatever. That's the first one, right? Deflect and decompress, like try to take the energy out of the situation. A green amplify is a good one. You know, maybe somebody calls you stupid. You're like, yeah, I'm really stupid, man. I failed out of second grade. You know, like usually if you can make them laugh, they're not going to punch you.
Right.
And then if you feel threatened, you should always have a fence, right? Or a shield. So bring your hands up. Talk to them like this.
Oh, right.
Bring
your hands up in front of you. Keep.
Right. Yes. Right. Don't have your hands down by your sides.
Right.
You're like, the second you feel like there's heat, there's be like, what? Excuse me. Like, touch your face, whatever. Anything to have hands up. You're ready.
Yeah.
To go.
Interesting.
That's really good advice.
That's a great. Right? That's great advice.
Yeah. Because so if they want to do something, they're gonna have to cross that barrier. They have to get around the fence. Right. And that's a great way to not throw the first punch. Because if I have that fence up, I'm like, hey, what's the problem? What's going on here? If they slap my hands out of the way, I have a reasonable level of force to deliver back to them.
Right.
That's funny because when I see guys getting ready to fight, they tend to puff up their chest and put their hands down.
Those guys don't know how to fight.
Thank you.
What technique, like, because you've trained in so many different styles of martial arts and wrestling, what, like in a street fight, let's say, you know, you're out by yourself and like maybe there's a crowd. What would you give advice for a situation like that.
A lot of people get into big arguments about boxing, wrestling, blah, 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 stuff. Like, whatever. It's a fight. It's a fight. Know how to have some basic understandings of fighting. A good 1-2, bop, bop. Good 1-2 is always a great thing to have because you can keep range and still move away.
I received your 1-2, and it was yes. Very effective.
So there's that. But you also need to know how to hand fight. Right? Because you never know if somebody's going to grab a hold of you. And if somebody grabs a hold of your wrist, somebody has a hold of your arm, and you don't know how to create space, your 1-2 is useless. Right? So you need to be able to hand fight, create some space, create some frames on your opponent, and then you can create distance and, have a little bit of footwork so you can stay in good position as you move away and then look to put something in between you. Right? There's a garbage can over there. I scoot away. I'm standing. Now there's a garbage can between me and the guy who's running his mouth. Right? That's an extension of your fence of your hands. Right? Now you have a barrier in between. Go walk on the other side of a tree. Right? Like stand on the other side of a tree.
Yeah.
It seems silly, but like you really don't want to get into a street fight. They're really dumb.
I don't.
Because even if you do everything right, they're the aggressor. You're defending yourself and you hit him. And he falls down, he hits his head, he dies. You're going to jail.
Right.
You know, like it's not really worth that if you can just scoot away, keep scooting away and leave. You know, you always have that option to leave.
All right. Favorite fighter all time. Who?
I am a huge fan. I have a lot of fighters I like, but one of my favorite fighters to watch back in the day was Igor Vochanshin.
Good name.
Igor Vochanshin. I met him once in Japan. I shook his hand. He had this bear claws. They were like these giant paws of hands. And he first time I saw him, he fought a 32-man tournament in Russia.
Whoa.
Right? He fought
32?
32-man tournament. He fought like 8 times.
Oh my God.
32.
He was this little guy. He was shorter than me. He's maybe 5'9". He kind of looked a little pudgy and dumpy, right? But he had good hips. He could throw these kicks up high up over your head like nothing, spinning kicks. He'd throw these big looping overhand rights. Just monster. He was fun.
You want to know who my favorite fighter is?
What's that?
Mythfit John Finch.
Yeah.
Favorite fighter all time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
this has been
man.
Such a great conversation because, like, I, you know, I'm not somebody who follows the sport, and you have made it so compelling and interesting to me. Like, I feel like I understand it in a way that I didn't before, and you might have made a fan. So for our community of MythFits that want to kind of follow what you do, is there a place that they can find you? Are you on social media?
I'm on social media. This last year, I've been a little bit dark because I've been busy with I've been touching grass, as the kids say today.
You.
I've been touching grass this last year, right?
Yeah.
I had a podcast, but I shut down for like a year because I've been doing a lot of work in real life. And I'll get back to it. John Fitch Knows Nothing was a podcast. Some of that stuff is still up on my YouTube. But that's official John Fitch on YouTube. I have John Fitch Smash is my Instagram. John Fitch Smash is my fan page on Facebook. And that's where I am most of the time. But yeah, I'm keeping a little bit quiet right now, but I'll get back to being.
Don't worry, they can catch you forever in a rerun of Mythbusters.
Or maybe we do a rematch. John, I'm up for it if you are.
Maybe Jake Paul can put it together.
Well, if that claw is still up at the White House, we get Jake Paul, we get you.
Hilarious.
Maybe Tori will come in for a, you know, a revisit.
Oh, man. Good stuff, dude. Dude,
thank
great
you.
To see you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great to see you guys, too. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
I got my perfect jeans on right now. Carrie, look.
Are you going to show us your butt?
Yeah.
I can't see it. I can get up on your chair. You're going to have to twerk it out. Twerk it out. Get up on the chair. There we go. There we go. Nice work.
Look
how's the stretch on those?
And they're flexible. I can work in them. That's how good they are.
Well, luckily we work sitting down. So how's the sit factor in those perfect jeans?
They look good. They feel good.
Well, I'm glad we have them as a sponsor because that was hilarious.
I need more. I need more perfect jeans.
What do you like about them?
I love how they feel. I love how they look on me and how they fit.
Their jeans have a four-way stretch fabric that feels as comfortable as sweatpants, but looks polished enough to wear anywhere, even on a podcast, Dory.
No tailoring, no guesswork, fits your body right out of the box.
And of course, they have YKK zippers, reinforced belt loops, and high stitch per inch.
Our listeners get 15% off their first order, plus free shipping at theperfectjean.nyc or Google The Perfect Jean and use code MythFits15 for 15% off. See what we did there? 15% off.
I want to take a minute to talk to parents, because this is something I didn't fully appreciate until recently. Myopia, or nearsightedness, is showing up earlier and earlier in kids. And I've learned it's about more than just seeing clearly in class. If myopia progresses over time without being addressed, it can lead to bigger vision challenges down the road. That's why I'm glad conversations around children's eye health are changing. When you take your child to an eye doctor, you're not just getting a prescription. You're getting insight into how their eyes are developing and what options might help support them in the long term. One of those options is Essilor Stellest lenses. They're designed specifically for kids and used as part of a myopia management approach, all while still correcting everyday vision. And from what I understand, they're worn just like regular glasses, nothing complicated for kids or parents. Every child is different, so the best place to start is with a comprehensive eye exam. For me, it's about being proactive now to help protect their vision for the future. Visit Essilor.com to learn more about Stellest lenses and to find an Essilor expert eye care professional near you. That's Essilor.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, welcome back, MythFits. I mean, if you were not a fight fan before and you didn't know a lot about this entire incredible industry, I feel like you're in the same page with me. Like, I learned so much and have such a different respect after talking to
John. Did we just turn you into a fan? Are you going to give it another shot, Carrie?
I mean, I feel like it just, you know, I think I went in with a sort of like, okay, whatever, fighting, like, this isn't going to be something I'm interested in. Tori's going to ask all the questions. And then once we started to dig into the complexities and, you know, some of the you know, controversies and some of the, like, how you get to where he is, I think the curiosity of it all really took me. I think that people who are watching this episode who weren't fight fans before are going to really learn something. I mean, I thought it was very cool.
No, it's interesting to hear, like, how much I knew that they were underpaid, but now you find out just how little money they were getting. And John's just such a good dude.
Like, he's a good guy.
He's just such a down to earth guy. And I loved his advice of just don't get into a fight.
Yeah.
Like, get out of it. Figure a way to de-escalate. Don't fight. And it's like, man, I wish more people took that advice.
He's just so pure. He's the guy that you're rooting for because he just, like, really believes in, you know, the ethics of it. And it sounds to me like, as far as sports go, that maybe because this is a newer sport, it doesn't have all of the tradition and regulations that a lot of sports do around things like betting and pay and having managers only have, you know, a couple of fighters versus having, you know, the 100 of them. Like, it's really interesting to hear his perspective on this. And I wonder how the industry is going to evolve, especially with such a spotlight that they have on it right now.
It's going to be fighting robots. That's coming next, Carrie. Mark my words.
Well, it's funny. I was doing a little bit of research on Instagram because I felt very uninformed going into this. And my feed started filling up with like some really fun viral things. Did you ever see the moment where there's like a bunch of girls were going to try to beat up this one girl working at a pizza shop, and she is an MMA fighter, and she kicked all their asses?
Yeah.
Did you see that clip?
Oh my God. She slammed that girl. And when you first watch it, you're like, this girl is just trashing these people. Like, she's just going through these other girls like they're nothing. And you're like, what's the story behind it? Then when you find out that they were going there as a gang to beat this girl up, you're like rooting for her. Have you seen, there's all these other crazy fighting tournaments now. I mean, just ridiculous. Like the slap fighting, you've seen those, right?
What do you mean slap fighting? You mean actually
so slapping? You have two people face to face and they take turns slapping each other.
Shut up.
You not see these?
I did not see that.
They're nuts. Are insane. They like knock these people. Some people have been knocked out from a slap.
I mean, I believe it. I mean, I my bony little hands aren't going to do anything, but ow, slapping then, like that. That sounds horrible. That sounds like a terrible fight. You just get slapped.
You take turns slapping each other. It's the craziest.
Okay. So it's not a fight where they slap. They're taking turns slapping each other.
Yeah. Or one gives up. You know, if they're you're like, I'm no more. And then there's another one where these two people start in a car with their seatbelts on. And then when the buzzer goes, they have like 5 minutes to submit the other person in the car. There's no punching, no kicking. It's all about submission. And so like some of them will like take the seatbelt and wrap it around the person's neck to choke them out. And then they like tap out.
They put their seatbelts on, the buzzer, and then they just go.
And then they go.
McKeith reaches over and blocks the seatbelt of Matt Williams. Matt is now still wrapped in his seatbelt. It's wrapped around his left arm. McKeith is trying to advance his position and get on top of Matt in the driver's seat. Looks like he's about to do so.
Okay, I can't believe that this is a televised sport. That it's car wrestling, car jujitsu. Like, what?
I know. Is that awesome? You know what? It's kind of a good test against, you know, because like if you're in a car and somebody breaks in and tries to attack you, like it's kind of a like a, oh, that's like a real world situation. Like, what if your Uber driver freaks out and he tries to go crazy on you, or you're the crazy person and the Uber driver is trying to get you submit. So
what are the rules here? Is it no holds barred? Like, can I actually like, as I'm unbuckling my seatbelt, elbow him in the nose and then
there's
go
no
for,
striking. So it's no jujitsu, striking. Right?
So it's just wrestling
submissions.
Okay, so it's not like if somebody attacked you in a car, because I'm going to fight dirty if somebody attacks me in a car. I'm going to go elbow to the nose, grab the hammer that I keep in there for breaking the window out.
And break their face.
Yeah, just like, bam.
Let me show you. Wait, can we look at the, I think this is in Russia. So it's 4-on-4 in a ring. And what happens is as the opponent is getting knocked out, their team is getting smaller and smaller. So now it eventually can become 4-on-1.
Okay, so you've got 4-on-4 in the ring and all four guys.
I think right there it's like 5-on-5.
5-on-5. So they all go for the guy that's across from them. But then if you get rid of one guy, is it now like 5-on-4 and you just like slowly eliminate?
Exactly.
So it's like one guy fighting five guys?
Exactly.
Whoa, that is
wild. It's like a rumble. It's like an old-timey rumble.
Yeah, seriously. And it's so weird because you don't know where to watch because it's just happening in so many places at once.
But like, look, he's got that guy in a leg lock and he's submitting him, so he'll be out. And then you're screwed. Like, what do you do when it's 5-on-1? You can't.
Corey, there's a whole world of fighting. I never knew all of these different ways.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
What? You know, in San Francisco, they do have a full pillow fight. Everybody shows up at one time. And you can pillow fight as many people as you can at once. I feel like that's the fighting I'm in for.
That's a fun one.
Oh my God, all of this. This was such a fun episode. I honestly did not know what to expect. And it was way more fun than I expect. This is so good.
Now Carrie's gonna get out there and start.
No, I don't feel like I'm more of a fighter, but I have like a certain respect that I might watch a fight and just like, I'm gonna watch it for the strategy. I'm gonna watch it for like the way that John fights, I think just seems really, really cool.
Are we going to do a fan question?
Yeah, I think it's time for a fan question. What do we got?
This comes from Daryl. What busted and confirmed myths you would love to combine to create a new result? I was watching the exploding heater rocket myth and thought, what if you strapped the Ming Dynasty astronaut to the water heater? That's funny.
It sounds like he just wants the spectacle. He just wants to see the ending. Like, what, I don't think it's maybe a different myth, but like what two spectacles would you like to combine to make the ultimate?
Yeah, that would have been funny. I feel like if we were still doing the show, we'd probably resort to that because we're running out of myths. And we're like, let's combine two myths, mash up.
What if we take Jado Rocket Car, fireworks, the fireworks man, where he ran out, and then maybe Thermite all at the same time?
That could be fun. I'd watch that. I don't know about you. I would definitely watch that.
What would you combine? What would you put together?
Let's see. What would I combine? Myths to a mashup of myths.
How about RPG versus Creamer Cannon?
That'd be a funny one, actually. What would happen? That's a good
what
one.
Happened? All right.
I like that. I'll go with that one.
How would we put that experiment together? Because when the Creamer Cannon went off, it was the flare that ignited it once it was already a cloud. So would the RPG hit something, arm itself, and then explode in the cloud to make like the ultimate big giant fireball?
Well, I see, it doesn't really explode. It just spits that molten copper out.
So it'd
I'm wondering if the fire from the Creamer Cannon would be enough heat to actually set off the RPG.
It high up, right? And then the RPG makes that, you know, like it sets off the cloud, and then the RPG runs through it from the bottom, and then it has an extra molten effect. So it's like it's vertical instead of horizontal. What if we did it like that?
I think we're going to have to start a GoFundMe, and we're going to have to test this myth. What do you guys think? Myth fits? Does that sound like a good idea?
Best Kickstarter ever.
Would you watch that? Oh, good times. Well, this was fun. Thanks. I'm glad that we got to reconnect with John.
And we got to add another myth fit to our strange myth fit universe. We will add him to the zombie apocalyptic fighting team. He will be
totally
front lines. Absolutely.
You want him on your team.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want him on my team. That'd be awesome. And I think that now your assignment, your homework, is you got to go get Deadmau5 on for our next podcast so I can stories of what you guys were up to. Because I told him before he left, I said, come home with some good Tory story. Well, thank you, MythFits out there. Thanks for listening. Please like, subscribe, and follow, because the more subscriptions and follows that we have, the more likely we can keep this little adventure going.
Peace out, MythFits. Stay
weird, MythFits.
Pioneer.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.